You're listening to the Parkway Podcast.
This past year, I developed paralysis in my right side, and I couldn't walk, I couldn't speak, I could talk clearly, but this is all because of Chad and Kelly's, what they talked to me about. They prayed for me three different times. And on the third time, Kelly just stopped in the middle of praying for my healing. She said, "Terry, it's time for you not to be defined by your illness. It's time to be defined by your walk with the Lord and what you need to do." I don't want to do this. So I took that information and put my healing aside and tried to work with what I had. I'm just not making up this stuff tonight, you guys. It really has happened. I don't want to think about those past events. I want to think what God's got for me. And what He has is something good. I can walk, I can talk, I get a nervous stomach under pressure, but I guarantee I'm not going to run off like the pastor and puke.
Hi, this episode is from our prayer and worship nights. We gather every Sunday night at 5 p.m. for a deeper and intense style service. Each Sunday night features a new worship team and a speaker from various ministries here at Parkway. The service ends with a time of intentional prayer as we respond to God's word, pray for our community, and pray for one another. If you missed a service, you can catch up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube Podcasts, or online at parkwaycc.com/sermons.
So tonight when I shared a couple thoughts before we started, the Lord gave me that verse in Revelation chapter 4 where it talks about the 24 elders. We didn't coordinate what they were going to sing about with what I had to share. There are 31,102 verses in the Bible. The fact that both of us were on the same length, that's the Holy Spirit, right? God's good. So tonight we have Terry Sage is going to be coming up to share the word. So I've known Terry for, I don't know, probably 20 years or so. And I can say he's the man of God. I don't know if he remembers this, but it's probably been about 20 years ago. We were at a men's retreat, and I was really struggling with some things, and I felt like the Holy Spirit's like, man, you need to go talk to him and share these things. And so I did, you know, with a lot of fear in my heart, like, man, I don't know if he's going to judge me or what's going to happen, but he was very gracious, and I still remember that to this day. And I truly believe that he has a calling on his life to speak to men, and probably to speak to not just men, but, you know, to people God puts in his path, but specifically a calling to men. So I've been watching his life for the past few years. He's been on a journey, and so I hope that he's going to share some of that tonight with what's going on in his life. So, Terry, if you'd like to come up.
I'm not nervous tonight for me. I'm nervous for you that you will not boo and hiss me. All I have to do is read what's written out here. But it wasn't that easy. I'm going to read something first and I'll get to my story. This past year, I developed paralysis in my right side. And I couldn't walk, I couldn't speak. And talk clearly, but this is all because of Chad and Kelly's, what they talked to me about. They prayed for me three different times, and I needed healing bad. And on the third time, Kelly just stopped in the middle of praying for my healing. She said, "Terry, it's time for you not to be defined by your illness. It's time to be defined by your walk with the Lord and what you need to do." I don't want to do this. So I took that information and put my healing aside and tried to work with what I had. I'm just not making up this stuff tonight, you guys. It really has happened. But it's to document it like I have. it's been a tough time because I don't want to think about those past events. I want to think what God's got for me. And what he has is something good. I can walk. I can talk. And I get a nervous stomach under pressure, but I guarantee I'm not going to run off like the pastor and puke. So here's my story. It's titled, The Tendency of Fire is to Go Out. Fire doesn't go out. Stick your hand in an ash pit 3 days later and you're going to get burnt. It's always there. So I'll take a minute. I'm going to introduce myself. I'm Terry Sage. My wife, Chris, is back there. We just celebrated 54 years of marriage this past week. It was really treacherous for us, but we made it. This story of the tendency of fire to go out is not a negative thing, but it's a positive thing to use so you can be alert and ready for your need in what the church is asking you to do or what God is asking you to do. Chris and I have been attending the Assembly of God for 54 years. And I got saved down the street in the old church. And I was part of the group that figured out how to build a new church and lay it out and got to use some of my talents there. So we go back a ways, but we've seen a lot happen and we've seen growth and we've seen struggles, but I've seen it come and go. So right now it's gone, and we're doing better. We're doing okay now. So I'll give you a little history of my life. What's happened in July of 1972? Probably most of you weren't even born by then, but I was old. I was 27 years old about that time. So I flew to Oregon with Chris to meet her family and to ask her dad for Chris's hand in marriage. And I remember a Saturday night we were having dinner and her dad said, "We go to church on Sunday." And I thought, "I'm going to puke." Why? But anyway, I know why, and it became clear it was the right thing to say. So on Sunday morning, we get up and we come to church and we have a service with Pastor Summers, my first pastor. Bless his heart, he's gone now to heaven. But at the end of the service, just like Pastor Jason does, this pastor says, "If you think you might die tomorrow, do you know where you're going, heaven or hell?" And if so, I've got something to say to you. So I raised my hand. I went down. I got saved. So I'm saved now. The next day, I'm on a plane to Vietnam. I was in the Air Force, and I had 4-year commitment, and I had to leave. And I had to leave knowledge of Jesus Christ almost behind, because over there wasn't a lot of church stuff going on. There was a lot of Jesus Christ going on, but, you know, let's put it in place where it should be. But anyway, I accepted God as my Savior. He forgave me my sins. I raised my hand. I was saved, and so on. So that started out my experience with the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit had for me. I didn't know at the time that there was a voice speaking to me. It was going to be a good voice. All I had time to do was keep my head down and be safe, you know. So if some of you don't know about Vietnam, you have to read about it in the history books. Then came this this deal about fire, which I've heard for a long time. And I went to Pastor several times about the fire, and I said, Pastor, there's tendency of fires to go out. And he said, you think you better think about that, write about it, and talk to me about it. So I'm talking to you now about it. And he's going to follow up on the spiritual, theological ramifications of what this means. But to me, it meant a clearing and cleansing of my life. And, you know, I can't go into the mud for Jesus Christ without being cleaned up. I'm going to be there to help somebody, not to get things muddied up again. So that's what this fire is about. It says in the Bible, or in studies, that fire of the Holy Spirit is a multifaceted symbol representing everything from God's presence, judgment, purification, and empowerment. Empowerment is what I needed. I can't go about these things alone. I do have a care for everybody's here and the ones who aren't here. I've seen a lot of people come and go, and I've seen people come back too, so that's great. I think what the Holy Spirit meant for me was that I was to live a life ablaze with passion for His purposes, and I was to shine like fire in the darkness. So that fire is just constantly in my mind about making my life straight and being helpful to each other. Pastor cannot alone make this church grow so we can make that grow out there. It takes each one of us to develop that passion for that. And this is what I've had, is the passion for sharing with others their life and sharing my life and all that. So with long conversations with the pastor and friends, that the fire never left, it just went dimmer. So I had some struggles in my life. It came and went, and it could come back again, but I hope not. But I feel like I do have a fire that's going to burn, and it's going to burn for the good thing. And if I can't see it, it's only gone dim. It's still there because I know about the ashes in the pit. It will burn you. It's still hot. So I'm going to give you some examples of what's going on in my life or what it has. A conversation with my friend Pete Wells back here. Pete, we've been friends for 30, 40 years or so. We went up to a conference in Portland one weekend, and Pete drove up in his little fast car, and we heard about everything that was good for us and where we should be leading our life. And all I could do is just listen, because I've had some shortcomings in my life, and I wasn't sure that I was qualified to be someone who could share and live a life clean. But anyway, after the conference, we hopped in his car, headed down the freeway. Pete's doing 100 miles an hour, and he's got the radio on singing, I can't drive 55. So I worried about my life then, you know. But anyway, I was managing to get out some things I wanted to say that, you know, I've had a crappy time, and I've been doing some dirty things, and life is not working right for me, and God's never going to forgive me. I don't know what to do. So quickly, he turns off I-5 into the rest stop at 100 miles an hour and stops, and I'm jerking back and forth. And he says, I'm going to tell you something, Terry, that I want to settle this for once and all and for all. God loves you, He forgives you, and He wants you to live a life for Him. And that just seemed too easy, but I accepted it. And thank you, Pete, very much for that time. Since then, I've had guys in the back row there that's prayed for me through some tough times. They visit me in the hospital. I mean, I couldn't walk. I couldn't talk. I couldn't do anything. But look at me now. I'm up here with jeans and a T-shirt on. I'm just, you know, I want to feel better. and you guys make me feel comfortable. So that's what I'm hoping for. And since God's fire has alerted me to the needs in people, lives, and emergency, I just want to be normal, but I want to be excited about things going on in the church, about people's lives being changed and getting baptized, and young kids going through studies, and the money comes in for them. You know, my life has not always been like it is now. I had a poor life growing up. I had a tough time with my family. My dad hated church, and my mom tried to go, and she'd come home one day, and she said, "Bill, you need to go to church, because when you die, no one's going to bury you." And so anyway, I thought, well, that's probably the thing I should be doing. So here I sat with a t-shirt and jeans and a microphone. This is not my day job, and it's not my night job either, but it's something that God wants me to do. So I'm going to try to read some of this and stay on track, because I'll just get reminiscing and we'll be going every which way. Okay. But God has a very special job for us, maybe several. Remember I said fire symbolizes purification and empowerment? This was like going to be one of those times. While driving down Highland Avenue one night, going to a party, an ambulance is approaching us. And I told Chris, I said, "I've got to turn." And she thought, man, pulled over. But I turned on Regent, went up one block, turned right again, got out and ran in this house. I knew whose house it was my friend Denny Woolsey. And I ran inside. I'd never been in the house before. I opened the door, ran inside, and went downstairs, and there's Denny on the floor having a stroke. He was dying right in front of my eyes. And, you know, how did I know that was going to happen? So anyway, I stayed and prayed with him. We got him to the hospital and got him Medford. And I spent 2 weeks every day and night with him. I didn't work. I got time off and I stayed and I prayed with him and talked with him, but I couldn't heal him. A month later, he passed away. But God took him to a better place. He was a better person. And but still, I still am just mesmerized by turning off a road and going to someone's house I'd never been in before and was led downstairs to pray for this guy. Okay. Did I have the fire of the Holy Spirit in me? Yes, I did. I wasn't looking at it. It didn't show up in the mirror. But when the event came up, I went for it. So has that fire gone out? No, it's still there. I see it. I use it. But it's not something I can see all the time, but I can feel it. Another way that the fire was clear was at a hospital for another former Vietnam guy who was pacing back and forth in front of us in the hospital up on the third floor. And just out of nowhere, he jumps up on the balcony, and he's going to jump. And he's telling everybody, "I'm jumping, that's it." He didn't get his pills that he was supposed to have, and so he didn't have control of himself. So I quickly ran up and grabbed his ankle, and I talked to him. I said, "You know, there's really good reasons to live for, and jumping off this balcony is not going to help anybody. It's going to hurt you, and you're going to die." So anyway, I didn't know I had a fire in me to lunge out there like that, but he did come off the rail, and I turned around and looked, and all the hospital staff and police and everybody's there, and "Let me take over," they said. "Let me take over." "Okay, you did." And I went in the ICU and got a pill so I could calm down. So I'm not making these stories up, you guys, and they may be a little bit stronger than what really happened, but they did happen. And I'm just saying it so I can let you know that if that something is tugging at your heart for someone, go to them. If there's a need that you hear about, take care of it. If you need to reach in your pocket and give out some money, do it, because We don't want our fire to be going down. We want it to stay up. We want it, that look in us that someone says, I like what he's got. I want to do the same thing. Another incident. Like I said, these are true stories, and they just keep me going. We were at the hospital visiting someone. Stay out there, man. There's things that go on. And you're going to be called upon to respond. And this particular time was a group of people standing outside, and they're hollering, they're cussing, and they're kicking, and they're really mad about something. I don't know what it was at the time. I just thought to myself, I got to go out there and see what's going on. Well, I stepped in the middle of the group, and I looked at everybody like I'm looking at you now, confused on what's going on. I said, God, come on, kick it in. Tell me what's going on. And so I start talking to these people about receiving comfort from the Lord for whatever is going on. And the raging group calmed down. They kind of started crying and started splitting up. And I found out that a drunken driver had killed one of their kids. And I didn't know that before. If I did, I probably thought, there's nothing I can say about this, you know. And then where is that jerk that did this, you know. So that was not good. So another incident, 2 years ago, my mother, 94 years old, flew out from Indiana, where I grew up at, and she wanted to see my friends. I think she wanted to see my church friends, you know, Jack and Lanny and Terry Miller and Pete and those guys, because she had heard so much about it. So we end up planning a Betty Grandma party, and you know, I never expected my house to fill up with people. You know, I got things sitting out I don't want people to touch. And I didn't want my wife to have to work so hard to clean up everything. So anyway, we had a big party. We cooked outside, and my mom was just so excited about all this. Well, this past summer, she passed away. Didn't quite make 95, but... She was always, I would talk to her about God, and she says, I'm afraid of God. I'm afraid of him. I said, what are you afraid of? Well, he knew how I grew up and all that. I said, well, God forgives and he forgets, you know. I knew how I grew up. I smoking outside and caught my mom and dad's house on fire. But fortunately, I was blessed to be able to figure out how to buy some lumber and put it back up clean. So got it all done before my dad came home. So... Anyway, she passed away this summer, and one of the last things I got to say to her before she passed on was, trust the Lord in all thine heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. I gave her hope for a future, and God was going to direct her. Well, she silently passed away just about that time about. So I don't think she was afraid of God. But it took me 50-some years to say those things to my mom. I tried to say it to my dad before he passed away, and he went over to the fire department, the chaplain, and said, my son said that if I do this, I'm going to go to heaven. Is that right? The chaplain said, yeah, that's the way it works, Bill. Well, we had his funeral service, memorial service at the VFW. The chaplain came up to me and said, your dad, you told your dad that if he did this and that, he's going to go to heaven. And I told him, well, that's about the way it is, Bill. That's what's going to happen. So, you know, it doesn't always work the first time. So you might want to follow up on these things and say, do you still believe me? You know, don't wait until the end where you have to ask those questions. So anyway, my family was very close to me. And they loved my kids and my wife, even though my old girlfriend's picture was on the wall. Chris never made the wall. So you guys, the tendency of fire is to go out. It can never go away. Like I said, stick your hand in those ashes and you'll find it's still hot. There's always something there God has for us. And tonight I'm trying to show you my heart through experiences. And Pastor Jason's going to give some theological ramifications of what we're talking about here. You know, I tried to do this in my head, but God said, stay out of it. That's not where you're going to be. So there was no argument about that. But like I said before, fire is a multifaceted symbol in the Bible, which representing everything from God's presence to his judgment, purification, and empowerment. I was empowered 3 times I know of. It could have been more, but I don't remember them. And I took the empowerment as being what I need to be doing. So let it draw you closer to God. Live a life ablaze with passion for his purpose. If you get in the way of God, it's not going to work. Fire burns brighter and clearer in different people, such as our friend Wanda. Wanda can go in the hospital to visit a friend, and the first thing she says is, can I pray for you? You know, my first thing is, what's wrong with you? You know, I don't know, that's a tough one, you know. Well, let's not let it be tough. Be demanding like Wanda does and pray. Just do it and get out of there. I'm going to tell you that the Holy Spirit gives us a lot of emotions. We sometimes have to move away from our own spot. You know, we might get in the way. Just get out of the way. Let God work through you. You've heard my heart. What's your story? We need to hear it for encouragement and life. You guys, it takes 2 flints to start a fire. Fire is, the other flint is God and me. We'll start the fire, but it takes 2. I can't do this on my own. Through obedience and God's strength, I have a purpose. But when I went to Vietnam as a 20-year-old, and now I sit here as a 75-year-old, I still have a purpose. God ignites me to be able to fulfill the purpose continually. So don't get in the way of God. He'll tell you when. And be ready to respond. And, you know, if it makes your stomach upset, do what you got to do and come back and take care of business. and move on from there. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I'd like to pray for a minute, if I could, Pastor.
Please.
Okay. You guys take your hats off. There you go. Lord, we're just so thankful for this opportunity once again to share your message. Lord, you bring that message to us, and it feels good to us, but it might be for someone else to feel good. Let's loosen up a bit right now and make these experiences happen. You know, you may not see that fire in us, but we know you're there. And I know that fire is not going to go out. There is a tendency to make it dimmer, but it's not going to go out. So when it's time, make it ablaze so that we can be a servant to serve and to help and to be there with the right choice of words, Lord, that is comforting to others. It's been comforting to me. It's been confusing about why things have happened, but it does happen. So we ask, Lord, for your blessing upon this, Lord, and that we all will leave here with a fire that is ready to go out there and take care of things and be ready when we're not in season, Lord, and to be ready with the words that you're going to put in our heart to say, and let God work through you. Don't try to figure it out. These things are asked in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Pastor?
I've made a lot of decisions as a pastor in 2.5 years. I just want to say for the record, this is one of my best decisions, giving this man the microphone. Would you guys give him a big round of applause? Yeah. So you guys remember the story I told this morning of my wife handing me that book, the How to Apologize in Chinese, and I knew it was a trap. Just so you know, when Terry said that I'm going to come up here and give you some theological ramification, that's a trap as well. He doesn't need my help. One of the things that I've been so privileged to be able to do is spend so much time with pillars of the faith in our community and our church. And we do this weird thing in the church where we look to what's next or what's younger. We talk about the call of God on 20-year-olds or 18-year-olds or 25-year-olds. When the whole time that, you know, as Terry spoke tonight, God's call is without repentance. There's many of us, and I've looked a lot of these men in the eye since I've been here and said, you're not done. And the reason why I know you're not done is because I need your help, and I'm in over my head. And there's those row of men that give me comfort, men and women that give me comfort all across that auditorium. When I start giving an altar call, you see their heads bow and they start to pray. And there's nothing like that in the church. And I want to say thank you. Thank you to Terry and the men like Terry that have really stood by this pastor as I'm still trying to get my sea legs. One of my favorite Terry moments is he came when I first came here. I don't even know if he remembers this, but he came up to me after I preached and he said, "Son, that was a good sermon. But I just want you to know, I don't want you practicing on us while you're here, all right?" And I love it because I was probably practicing on you guys when I first got here. But what a beautiful thing it is to have men and women that will just support you and believe in you. And I don't know about you, but we've had a lot of good days since I've been here and a lot of good days at Parkway's Pass. But today has to be up there with what God did this morning in church. And the baptisms, and then 10 or 12 people giving their heart to Jesus, and John, you being able to baptize your grandson. And then, I don't know if you guys saw it today, but Tim Ganella and he brought his grandkids here. Two of his grandchildren gave their heart to Jesus today. Is that just incredible? I mean, just, do you guys know Doug and Gretchen, who we announced as some of our members today? Doug has been estranged from his brother for 2.5 years. He started coming to church 3 weeks ago, and he gave his heart to Jesus today, sitting in the front left. So just crazy stuff. DJ and I were talking earlier today, and DJ got baptized, and he thought it was so cool because the men's basketball league that he put on was actually where Drew sort of got connected back to the church. And just to have DJ be at the front of that baptism and then Drew at the end of it, was incredible. Another really cool story was Jason and Crystal. Jason and Crystal were really integral in just planting those seeds of faith with Stephanie and Aaron. And at that altar call, Stephanie, were those her family members down front in the front row? I think they were her family members. They both, like two of her family members, raised their hand for salvation and gave their heart to the Lord. And what I so loved about it is Stephanie is like a brand new believer, and she was operating in a gift that I don't even think she knew she had. And did you guys see her down there leading her family to the Lord? And I leaned over to Crystal and I said, "It's like your babies are having babies." Isn't that the coolest thing? Yeah. Isn't that the coolest thing when you lead someone to Jesus and like they're not even, Steph, and then we just prayed about it in the water baptism tank. We looked at them and said, "Just so you guys know, this is bigger than you and doesn't matter about your education or your information, that you rely on the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's going to allow you to transform lives." And like 18 minutes later, she's down front leading her two family members to the Lord. And so just incredible to see all of those wonderful things beginning to happen. Mike McDonald, you know our guitar player? His granddaughter came to VBS, came to church for the first time this summer. Is it grandson? Sitting in the upper deck. And his wife has been back in church now for 3 or 4 weeks. And just incredible to see. And to your point, you know, the only theological ramification that I can think of is let's fan the flame and let's go win our world for Jesus. And it's not too late, never too old, never too young. You don't have to have all the knowledge and wisdom to go do it. You just got to have the passion to be able to do so. This pastor loves you. We've had a long day today, a wonderful day. And from church to annual business meeting to tonight. So let me pray over you. Lord, we thank you. Father, I thank you for this wonderful word, this reminder. You've placed us in the greatest mission field in the world, I believe, Josephine County. There's so much visible need around here that you would have to be blind spiritually to not see how God can actually move in this community. Father, we thank you for the opportunity. It is mission rich. And Father, we thank you for the ability to place us right here, right now, for this wonderful purpose to go win our world for you. Father, we're available. Our hands are lifted high. We say, yes, here am I. Here am I. Would you use me? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I love you. Let's continue, guys, today.